the Lord may graciously lead, I would ask you to turn with me to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians in the 9th chapter and at the last verse. The second epistle to the Corinthians at chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Coming directly to the words before us, I would seek to inquire first of all, what is it, or who is it, that is in the mind of the apostle as he writes these words? You may respond that it is surely the Christ of God. Well, maybe. But are there not other unspeakable gifts? Not that I would put any other, even upon the level, in any sense of the word, with that glorious gift of the Christ of God in Bethlehem. But I repeat, dear friends, are there not other gifts that are unspeakable, at least to you and I? I believe there are many. Let me give you just three. And you will see the trend of the mind. Doubtless all of you at some time or another, possibly on more than one occasion, as you've walked down the street, you've seen a blind person. And thinking of those who have been blind from birth, perhaps you've helped them across the road. That person has never seen the beauties of colour, never seen the handiwork of God, could never tell the difference between the shining of the glorious sun, though they can feel its warmth, nor the darkness of the night. Have you ever stopped? Perhaps, as I have said, you've led one across the road in the busy scenes of traffic. Have you ever stopped when you've led them and got to the other side and lifted your heart to God in a silent prayer of thankfulness for the unspeakable gift of sight? Do you and I ever stop to think about it? And again, perhaps in your travels, doubtless, with most of all of you, possibly, you've known what it is to visit hospitals, mingling with the sick and the suffering. I'm not thinking so much now, though I'm not detracting from it, but I'm not thinking so much of those who have entered hospital for a brief day, be it even a few days or a few weeks. But I'm thinking of those who have laid for years and years and years in a state and condition which is incurable. And I go back to my own dear father. 13 years he lay bedridden in hospital, unable to move hand or foot or anything, completely incapacitated, dependent upon the attendants to feed him, to do everything for him, 13 years. I visited him hundreds of times, it must have been. Do we ever stop to give thanks to God silently for the unspeakable gift of health and strength, with all our faculties, Are these not unspeakable to you and I? For can you define them? Can you adequately express them? Can you adequately give thanks for them? Do not these words have their measure of meaning if they're not primarily set before us here? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And I look again. Perhaps it's not being quite in the same measure. But have you, in the course of your experience, had occasion to visit asylums, one or more, to mingle with those who have lost their reason? I've had more than one occasion in my visitations to visit such places. My mind goes back to one occasion where I visited a lad, quite a lad, in his teens. It almost broke my heart as I was led in by the attendant. For every door he came to, he had to unlock it and let me in, lock it behind me. We went to the next door and he unlocked it and locked it again and began to wonder where I was. Eventually I reached the friend I'd come to meet, to visit. And there he sat and stared. I talked to him and it was quite obvious it didn't register. He never by sign or movement gave any inclination that he even knew I was there, though he must have done that, for he had his sight at least. But when I spoke, he never responded, he never said a word. While he was there, they brought along his meal and put it on the table of his bed. He sat there and stared at them. In a state of complete melancholy. And I remember saying to the attendant as I left, "What is the hope of that lad?" And he said, "Well, you can see what he's like. He sits there for hours and hours and hours and just stares. That meal I brought to him, he said he'll sit and stare at that for hours until we come and feed him with. You thank God, my dear friend, for your reasoning faculty. It's never been my occasion, though I don't know that they even allow it. It's never been my occasion to visit a padded cell. I know there are such. I say, do you ever stop? Do I ever stop to give thanks to God for the unspeakable gift? And surely it's unspeakable. I'm not putting it on the same plane of the glory of the gift that I should try to get to a little. The precious gift of the Christ of God, I'm not putting it on the same plane, but isn't it unspeakable? Do you ever stop to think about it? Not given to be in a state where you've lost your sight and can see nothing. Not brought into a condition where you're wrapped in body. Pain and suffering night and day, year in and year out. And not brought into a state of melancholy, insanity. These are but three things that I set before you. You and I gathered here in the house of God are blessed with all our faculties, with health and strength, with all our reasonings, our vision, so on and so forth. How often do we give thanks for it? Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And if these things are not unspeakable to you, my dear friends, even these three that I have named, where they are to me, I can't begin to adequately bless God For even these three, apart from many, many others that might be added to them, what is in the mind of the apostle? Well, I wonder, as the Spirit of God shall graciously enable me a little to say a few things with regard to him who is the sender of all, the glory of all. But I'm not going to confine it to that. I'm not going to suggest that that is the primary thought in the mind of the apostle, but that will come to in due season, and I shall seek to support that thought. But let us gather around the unspeakable gift of Christ Jesus. What a gift. I'm not going to dwell upon the fact that it is a gift, and no need, I trust, to dwell upon that, for surely none of our minds and hearts would begin to infiltrate any suggestion of merit on our behalf or on account of any other in the human realm. No, I want to look a little, if the Spirit of the Lord may graciously help, at something of this aspect of being unspeakable. Let me just say here that this word doesn't mean that we should never, or we can never, speak about it. The word here really means, in the original, the inexhaustible, the unfathomable. Doesn't mean that, like the three aspects of the human realm that I have referred to, doesn't mean to say, because you can't define them, you can't begin to get to the depths of them, that you're just to discard them and never think about them. This glorious gift of God in the gift of his dear Son is unspeakable in the sense that it's inexhaustible. All down the ages, men, divinely appointed and commissioned of God, have sought to try and unfold something of the treasures, and how far have we got? With due respect to all of the great men that God has raised up in the past, we look back upon them and we refer to them as the old divines, and they were. Some of us feel to be so insignificant against them as to be beyond even recognition, that they were godly men. They were wonderfully used in their writings as well as in their preaching. But I say with them all, and with us all, and all who will yet come, how far have we got in the sense of expounding, or in the sense of understanding, this greatest gift of all? I'm not concerned about season. In fact, it's my humble belief Christ never came at this time of the year at all. In fact, I'm confident of that. But still, while not seeking to conform to men merely in the recognition of a season, let's gather around the theme, and gather around it all the year round. For what other theme is there if you take away this? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In this respect, it's singular. So let us try and look a little at this aspect of this gift that is so wonderfully and so divinely expressed as being unspeakable. And I would first of all direct your minds a little to the fact that this gift is unspeakable because of its greatness. because of its greatness. There never was a gift such as this. There never has been since, there never could be another. For this is a gift from heaven. Apart from all else that might be said, and I should seek to break this up a little as we go along, but there never could be another gift like this. This is a gift from God. Not that I am confining it to this. God gave many, many other gifts, even those three that I've mentioned. God gave this glorious morning. Look at the wonder of it. And I suppose every one of us has said, what a lovely morning. God's gift of the sunlight and all that signifies in the natural realm, in the creative sphere. We might go on, but this gift is unspeakable for its greatness. Its greatness is to be seen. Nevertheless, if I use the word, and forgive me, I can't think of another, but I use it in its right sense, in its insignificance. For here, veiled in the frail human frame of a babe, is God. God manifest in the flesh. This glorious gift is unspeakable in its greatness because it abides. That cannot be said of any other gift, however long it may abide. It seems to me that many of the gifts that will be changing hands in the next day or two, if they haven't already changed hands, before the end of the week, they will be cast aside. The toy will be broken. Or the child has become tired of it. And a week's duration and it's finished. Perhaps some of the older friends have received gifts and they will abide for a number of years. But sooner or later, they perish. But this gift can never perish. In fact, the longer the span of time dwells in connection with it, the greater will unfold its beauty. It's so great that it embraces eternity, both past and future. And therefore it must, even in this sense, become unspeakable. For who can enter into eternity and begin to fathom eternal things? Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And then, passing on hurriedly, I want to notice that this gift is unspeakable because of its preciousness. Its preciousness. As I've said already, I know it's couched in a little tiny babe. No different to any other babe. Millions of babes have been born. I'm not going to put any halos round its head. I don't want any halos. This little babe was exactly the same as any other babe. And yet, this little babe was different to every other babe. Here is the preciousness that through this medium God saw fit so to provide. But oh, what a preciousness. This season of the year, or this theme, let's keep to the theme rather than the season, If this theme, my dear friend, means anything to you and to me, in the real essence and in the real sense of it, it must be couched in this, that it's precious. Precious. How precious, of course, you get to the unspeakable sense of it. Who can begin to measure? Who can begin to estimate? Who can begin to declare the degrees, the limits, or the limitless aspect of the preciousness of this great gift that God has in infinite mercy been pleased to bestow? It's unspeakable. There never was a gift. Children today are receiving the gifts of such a value that some of us at least never knew. Days of old, you had to wait until Christmas morning. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? You woke up in the fever of excitement and you reached out for your stocking that had hung there all night, and what was inside? The total contents wouldn't have come to more than sixpence. We thought we were millionaires. The excitement, the joy, was simply wonderful. Who's going to measure the preciousness, the value? Never yet ceased to be unfolded. For as I've said in connection with the previous thought, no end to this. The longer it goes on, the preciousness becomes more and more enhanced in itself, in its power, in its application. For the longer time goes on, poor sinners are being brought to enjoy it. Preciousness is extended in that respect, but we should deal with that under other heads. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. But the unspeakable aspect of this gift surely is to be seen in its rarity. As I've said already in other connections, there never was another gift like this. But what is this gift for? Gifts under the general heading are only to express something between the giver and the recipient, and no more. Here is a gift that was so rare that it came to provide what could never be provided by any other, through any other means. Oh, friend, if you and I could only stop and really be led of the Spirit of God into the essence and into the fullness of the unspeakable aspect of this sense, of its rarity. Never was there a gift like this. God gave. Just simply in those words, God gave his Son. One has to keep dragging this down to earth. I'm not doing it by way of comparison, but only as trying to provide a few steps whereby we might get up somewhere at least in the approach to the glories of this. But a giver will give a gift. It may be the greatest gift that they've ever given or has ever been known to be given. But they're never given their all. They cannot give their all. For if they give all that they possess, they still haven't given all until they have given themselves. So that's impossible. But God gave all that he had. All that he had. All that he loved and loved so dearly and so perfect. Again, of course, you come to the unutterable and the unspeakable. For who can begin to understand or measure the love wherewith the Father loved his dear Son? Rarity. Singularity. But the unspeakable aspect of this surely is to be seen in the fact of its suitability. Its suitability. Ah, friend. Need I say it again? There never was another gift so suitable. Again, we come down, for want of better, we come down to the same avenue. Many will be receiving gifts. And as the gathered people and children are gathered together in the little gathering in the home or elsewhere, and one will receive this gift and another will receive that gift, and this one that's received that one will be looking at the other one and saying, I wish I had that. But here is a gift that suits that one and this one and all the others. You know, it would be a strange home. It would be a strange family circle if the parents tomorrow morning, and I hope you've left it till then, if tomorrow morning the parents gathered the children, they'd put a big family, shall we? 15 children in the family. And father comes in and he says, there's a gift for you, and there's a gift for you, and he went round the whole 15. They'd all got the same thing. They'd all got the same thing. Has it ever been known? Of course it hasn't. Because this is incomparable. Its suitability. My dear friend, when God, glorious Jehovah, gave his dear Son long, long ago, he gave him for you. He gave him for me. It was suited to you. It was suited to me. Nobody ever complained. Thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. But I look again. Surely the unspeakable aspect of this gift is to be seen in its freeness. In its freeness. With due respect to you all, my dear friend, and myself as well, in the giving of our gifts, and let's face it, we do it out of custom. And we mustn't omit that person because, well, it'll look funny, you know. Leave them out. If I had my own way, you know, I wouldn't give them a gift at all. I don't think they deserve it. But still, we've got it. We can't leave them out. You know the thoughts that arise, and bringing it right down again, getting down into the depths, let's scale into the heights. Oh, the glory of the freeness with which God gave. And when he looked down upon the universe, what did he see? There wasn't an atom of merit anywhere. North, south, east, west, past, present, future. There wasn't an atom of merit. What is it that the dear word says itself? What is it that God himself says in his word? And it embraces this just the same. Freely ye have received. Freely you have received. you pondered over this, my dear friend. I've had to come to this in contemplation, and believe me, I've had some sweet moments on this. As my poor heart has tried, or been enabled of the Spirit of God mercifully and graciously to grasp a little of this. God looked down through the span of time and saw me, ruined in the fall, but freely gave. And freely gave all that he has. Isn't this unspeakable? It'll certainly need a better than I to try to begin to speak about it, let alone adequately speak of it. I say its unspeakable glory is to be seen in the freeness. There was no obligation. There was no power. There was no person. There was no collective assembly that could begin to command God. He wasn't actuated as men are by custom. Neither is he governed by the measure of his possession. I've referred to the days of old with some of us, and we received a few little things in a stocking, an orange, a new penny, and perhaps a little fusel. It had to be thus because our parents had to say, now how much can we afford for these dear children? And it had to be governed by the wherewithal. My God isn't governed. My God isn't governed. If I was hungry, you said, I wouldn't tell you. Who are you to provide me when I'm hungry? If I was thirsty, I wouldn't tell you, for what resources have you got to assuage my thirst, even if I was thirsty? And I remind you that all the cattle that ever was, they're all mine. All the gold and silver that ever was, they're all mine. Freeness. He gave under no obligation, under no stress. He gave simply and solely because he would. What a gift. But there is an aspect of this in which the unspeakable aspect of this gift is to be seen in its necessity. In its necessity. And here perhaps we come to the very essence and the centre and the core of the glory of this gift, its necessity. So I've said many times, my poor heart can consider through the medium of the negative sometimes so much better than I can ever begin to get round to the positive. And my heart has been trying through the hours of the night to ponder over this. Thanks be to God, it's only a possibility. It's only a supposition. But what if he had never given? What if he had never given? Many countless thousands will be indulging, reveling in this season. I passed through Abingdon only on Friday. What I saw there made my heart. Heartsick. They were observing. They were reveling. At least, outwardly, they didn't know what they were doing. They were so overcome with liquor that the three of them had to hold one another up. Necessity, friend, and if God had never given. The whole world lay in wickedness. That is the declaration. Here was the necessity Not that the necessity governed his giving. There was a necessity. But God didn't, if I put it into such language, God didn't say, well look, something's got to be done for these people and there's nobody else that can do it. I better do it. No, God so loved that caused him to give. It was love that bound him, or he bound himself in covenant to give. But here was the necessity of the gift. I drag this down again, you'll have to forgive me, I can only get a medium this way. Many will be receiving gifts from near and dear and otherwise through this season. And many will be saying as they open the parcel and reveal what they've got, well, that's just what I want. I want to say this, my dear friend, and I say it with all the kindness in the world. Every gift that we received in the human realm, we could do without. We could do without. Everyone. God has given to us in the human realm all that we really need. I'm not underestimating, friends, you won't misunderstand me, surely. But whatever the gifts are, and the millions and millions and millions of gifts all over the world that will be changing hands, and I say in the essence and in the fullness, you could do away with them all. There isn't one that is a necessity. Here is the only necessity. One wonders as they behold the morning light of this very day how many will be given in mercy to see the necessity of this gift, and not only to see it but to feel it. If I leave nothing else with you, yea, God grant that nothing of mine but his. But if there's nothing that I may say through the day about this theme, what little I may be enabled to say, may God give you and I this thought. To dwell with us and in our souls through this season. The necessity of this gift. You lay a lot of store. So do I. You think a great deal. You value a great deal. You estimate a great deal. You respond a great deal to gifts that come from your dear friend. You anticipate for some time what you're going to receive. No anticipation. Very wonderful thing. I remember saying in the Sunday school in my late church on one occasion, I forget now whether it was Christmas time, it doesn't matter, but I remember saying to the children, you know, anticipation is always greater, sweeter than realization. I know, I think for years after that I was reminded by so many people what I'd said. Well, it's true. I go back to my days when I was away at boarding school, having left home at a very early age. And about a month before Christmas, when the parcels began to come from friends and relatives and so on, for us boys, we were never allowed to see them. They were stored in the cellar of the chaplain's house. The Church of England was the order there. And we were just had at each meal time just a list read out of those for whom parcels had reached the school that day. And then as the days progressed, the last thermometer was put up on the notice board and the red went up and up and up and up. And as you heard your name read out, perhaps today and perhaps tomorrow and perhaps the next day, and you counted the number and the way the mind began to go. I wonder what there is in that. It's a lovely thought. A lovely thought. And then, of course, on the Christmas morning, they were all brought out. And we were sent up into the drill hall to open them. 240 boys. Those who had no parents and no relatives were provided by the school with parcels so that everybody had one at least, if not. And you can imagine, without me going into it, and my mind goes back to it now. Yes, and after the parcels were all open, the contents taken out, and the paper and the string, so on and so forth, it littered the floor 2 or 3 feet from the ground. And then volunteers called, gather it all up and take it out and burn it. But the anticipation. I love it. It was sweet anticipation of him. Does it mean anything? I don't mean in the sense of his ultimate coming the second time without sin unto salvation. But have you anticipated his coming this morning as you wended your way to the sanctuary? The lovely anticipation. There's a necessity in this gift that makes it unspeakable. A necessity even in relation to every gathering in which we gather together here in the house of God. For if he's not here, friend, it'll be empty, it'll be vain, meaningless, worthless. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. It's a necessity, friend, necessity. And all the glory coming of Christ fills a necessity. Yes, but I suddenly look at that clock and it's necessary for me to close in a moment. I must ask the Lord bless his truth thus far and lead us perhaps in the interval into a little of the contemplation of anticipation. Even so come, Lord Jesus.